Hello and good, what is it, Thursday afternoon. I'm Victoria Hill, your public information officer for the city of Billings. We've been doing these series of Facebook Live / podcast. The podcaster uploaded to the BPD Unfiltered podcast channel. So we thank them for hosting this series that we've done so far. So today we actually do have the police department joining us for this Facebook Live and podcast. And so, of course, everyone knows Police Chief Rich St. John. Hello there. Thanks for joining us.
Victoria.
Yeah. And then we also have Lieutenant Matt Linick. Thank you so much, Matt, for being here with us. Appreciate
You're
it greatly.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So we have a couple questions and topics I wanted to hit on, asked from the public and comments made, and wanting to get both of your input on that. So, I'll also be monitoring the channel. If anyone's watching live right now and wants to ask a question, go ahead and ask away, and we'll try to get your questions in. So the first thing I wanted to talk about, Chief, was the last time we spoke, we did a Community 7 segment about public safety updates, and a lot of people took away some great information from that. But one of the comments that we got from that was someone who said, it's going to be hard to convince people that voted for this levy, as well as the people that didn't vote for it, that this has done any good for Billings. The fact is, crime seems to be increasing. So, Chief, give me your take on that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, great question, and certainly a valid observation. And I would encourage people to look at the totality of what's taking place in Billings, what everybody sees are all the tragedies that we're dealing with. And it does appear that we are, being overrun with violent crime and the homicides and all that. When we take a step back and look at what has taken place holistically, and I would encourage your viewers to tune in to the City Council work session next Tuesday. We will present our second half statistics, and then shortly after that, our annual report will come out. But in general, what we have seen in the second half of 2022 was a decrease in calls for service, a decrease in aggravated assaults, some of the violent stuff. Our homicides were up, and then that's unfortunate. But when you look at the whole thing, I think our strategies and our strategic objectives that we put forth to the citizens, and we applied the resources, have started to level some of those numbers out, and in some cases turn them the other way. Unfortunately, that's not seen across the board. It takes a very, very holistic look at what it is that we're doing. But there was some significant progress made, and some very, very good accomplishments that directly correlated to the resources we got from the safety levy. So I'm excited to report that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of work to do. Very frustrated that we can't prevent stuff. And I know we'll talk about that a little bit later on where we can enlist some help there. But a very, very fair question. And if anybody, didn't know, the stats and things that we're looking at, I can see where they would think that we are losing ground here. And, we're struggling in some areas, but we've leveled out and in some cases turned it the other way. So I'm very, very pleased to report that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Chief, for that insight. One of the resources that you talked about when you talk about resources, that would be the community service officers, also known as the CSOs in our community. And I'm going to turn to Lieutenant Linick for this question, because people are curious, what have they been up to, exactly how busy they've been. So can you give us any insight on that, Lieutenant Linick?
Yeah. So our CSOs have been out on the street now since the beginning of towards the end of November is when we hired, and then they did have to go through a 6-week training program, 3 weeks in-house and then 6 weeks on the street so that we can get them schooled up. Just for anyone that doesn't know what the CSOs are, the community service officers, they're civilian employees of the police department. They're not armed. They can't make arrests or anything like that, do traffic stops, but they help us in investigating calls for service that are cold, so they have just not they have not just happened. And then they also don't have any suspect information. Those are property crimes, genuinely speaking. So that criminal mischief or that theft, those type of cases, burglaries, they're trained on how to investigate those properly, do good documentation on the reports, gather all the evidence and stuff like that. So they are doing a phenomenal job on the street. I pulled their numbers yesterday. We have four of them currently. We were authorized to hire seven. So we're waiting on some equipment and just some budget stuff to come through to pick up the remaining three. But just the four that we got are doing a phenomenal job on helping our patrol officers and freeing up some time. So as of yesterday, those four officers or community service officers have answered 432 calls for service, and they've written 133 case reports. On top of that, when we first got them over here to the Crime Prevention Center, which is where they're housed, we had a little bit of a backlog in reports that had come into the Crime Prevention Center that we were trying to work through with volunteers and with officers. And so they helped clear all of those up all through 2022, which was about 450 cases that they worked on and to help us get caught up on that. So these guys have been a great asset for our department, and the patrol guys are really happy that they're out there helping speed up some of those investigations. The public should be seeing a decrease in some of their calls, the wait time that they have when they're calling those in. They're not having to wait for an officer to clear up. And so hopefully that's where we're going with that, and that's what everyone's seeing.
Yeah, that those are some pretty big numbers, especially when you talk about how they caught up on some of the cases that have been sitting for a while waiting for follow-up. So, you know, some of the people who might be watching this very well could get a call out of the blue and wonder like, oh, hey, now I get this follow-up. And that's all because we finally have now the resources to get on top of these cases. Another topic I wanted to shed some light on, a concept that people might be familiar with, CEPTED, that's Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. This goes also back to some of what the chief said about prevention of crime. So what is CEPTED? Let's get people caught up on that, and how do they take advantage of that as well?
Sure. Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design, not a new concept. It's something that's widely renowned kind of across the country. It's used everywhere. There's big national programs for it. So we're well aware of that program, and we do utilize it. We've got a couple officers on the department that are certified in CEPTED. I'm one of those. Sergeant Manser is also another one. Our downtown association has some individuals that are certified along with the chamber. So the way we use it in our department is through our Crime Prevention Center. It's one of those services that we do offer. And so individuals that are looking to work on some crime prevention on their property, whether they need assistance in trying to figure out what kind of lights or where they should, you know, put trees or bushes or that kind of stuff. That's mostly what CEPTED focuses on, is increasing visibility and limiting the areas where people can take advantage of a property or individuals. And so they can reach out to the Crime Prevention Center. They can either request we have this residential security survey. We could send that form over that people could do their own, just kind of outline some of the things that they should look for. Or we have our public relations sergeant, Nate West, and our crime prevention officer, Tony Nichols, that are available to also come out to a property and assist in going through that property and that checklist and just giving people an idea of what they can do to better prevent their property or their home from some of these things.
Yeah, and Victoria, I'd interject there that this is also available to businesses. Mm-hmm. The Chamber of Commerce has a parallel program. Essentially, we work together on things of this sort. And most recently provided a CEPTED evaluation for a park. So the concept is applicable in many, many different arenas. Mm-hmm. And we want people to understand that all this is a recommendation on what the our trained staff sees and can make a recommendation on what would really make your property safer, harden it up, and help deter some of the criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that the unintended consequence when for example, when we did a city park and they made some recommendations, well, there's some fiscal note attached to that. Mm-hmm. And so again, as the policy body looks at some of these things, when we implement the SEPTED, especially on city properties, that you know, again, it's advisory, but you know, people are going to need to make an investment to, you know, to help you know, harden up their property, and then of course it improves the aesthetics as well. But again, it's free, and I encourage people to take advantage of it. Great bunch of guys goes out and do that, and you can see the checklist there. And again, and along with the CSO program, the whole idea, of course, we just as soon prevent crime from happening in the first place. But the other goal, the CSOs, the reason why they are civilian positions is to free up sworn officers for more critical things that are taking place. And you saw the number of calls mm-hmm. that they handled for us. Historically, before this program, that would have been handled by a sworn officer or not handled at all. Mm-hmm. And that was a recommendation from our third party, Center for Public Safety Management, CPSM recommendation. Surprisingly enough, they didn't recommend a whole bunch of police officers. It was about 50-50 civilians, with the goal of maximizing your sworn officers and maximizing the use of civilians for those lesser critical tasks. And that's been a resounding success. Lieutenant instrumental in getting that program going.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back to the SEPTED conversation. The little that I've learned so far since being here with the city, I now do simple things like leave my porch light on, leave my driveway light on, because for what that's worth, my house is well lit now and at nighttime, and if it helps to deter any criminal activity, then that's the least I can do at this point. But Chief, you mentioned staffing, and people might not realize this, but the police department is continuously looking for new police officers to join the force. And so Lieutenant Lennick, I wanted to ask you where you're on that, how many officers we have right now, how many are you looking to hire at this moment?
Right, thanks. So we are approved for 167 from the top down, so from the chief down to the guy that we just hired and is waiting to go to the academy. Currently, as we sit today, we're at 161. So I've got six spots to fill, and we're in a process for some background guys right now, and I'll present those here in the next month or so to a hiring panel. We'll make some decisions on which ones are going to make it through and then move to the next academy. We base a lot of our hiring on our availability to get people through the academy up in Helena, and so we have to work with their schedules. So we do usually three blocks of hiring in a year. Maybe a couple extras if we have post-certified officers. So yeah, we're at 161. We're slated for 167, so we're looking pretty good. We hired 15 officers last year to replace some retirements, some guys that moved to, you know, federal agencies or moved on to something else. And then we had some public safety mill levy spots left over to try to fill for. So we're doing pretty good, and we'd encourage anybody that's interested to apply.
Yeah, and you guys are making it super simple. For anyone watching on Facebook, there's a QR code pulled up right now. If folks were to pull out their smartphones and open the camera and scan this QR code, what would it take them to?
Right, so that QR code will take you to our Interview Now program that we use. And our Interview Now program allows you to answer some basic questions, kind of like a preliminary check to make sure that you're qualified for that position, but it would link you into the ability to talk to a recruiter immediately, either by phone or text. Sergeant Puckett is our admin sergeant, and she's the one that takes care of most of that back and forth with individuals that are wanting to have questions answered about our department or what the process looks like. So that QR code would get them in touch with her, and then she could get them aligned with the process of how to apply and what the application process looks like.
All right, very good. Thank you. Chief, my next question's for you. I wanted to get your input on the role that the community plays in crime prevention. That seems like everyone has their own opinion. They're entitled to that. But then there's the group that seems to think crime prevention lies solely on the shoulders of police officers. And then there's other community members who are like, hey, we all play a part. What are your thoughts on that? What message would you like to share on that?
Yeah, and it's definitely a partnership with the community. We absolutely cannot do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, if you split the thing up, a public crime prevention plan versus a public crime deterrence plan really are two separate things but headed the same direction. So on the deterrence side, I would say that falls more with the police department and some of the activities that we do. In concert with that would be the crime prevention program. Now, certainly we can facilitate programs such as Neighborhood Watch and, you know, all of those things, but we definitely need the community to take part in looking after each other. A cursory look at our 22 numbers shows that our top call for service, as it has been for years, is what mm-hmm. we call suspicious. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that people are calling when something doesn't look right in their respective neighborhood or area or wherever it may be. And I have always encouraged that because that indicates two things. Number one, that people are looking out for each other, especially in neighborhoods. Things don't look right. And number two, that they're calling us so we can check it out. More times than not, it turns out to be nothing, but if we don't get notified, then we don't know. Mm-hmm. And you just never know what you might interrupt. So I'm very, very pleased that number is high again. And again, that just comes from all the prevention programs that are out there. Again, I mentioned Neighborhood Watch. We have the same program for the businesses. And, retooling our crime prevention activities. You're going to see some creative programs coming forth here in the next few months. Just put the pressure on the lieutenant here. But I'm looking forward to that. And the whole goal is, you know, to get community engagement. Because I think people know across the board, regardless what the issue is, you're talking crime prevention, substance abuse, homelessness, co-occurring mental, that's police department's not the main handler of those issues, but we're the ones that get called. So we are engaging our community partners to help with that. Mm-hmm. And I think collaborative efforts make a difference. So we've seen some progress.
Mm-hmm. I am going to share something that I heard at a task force meeting that I attended a few weeks ago. There was a resident who said, you know, he calls if he sees some kids maybe hanging out, making noise in a group, somewhere in the neighborhood. But he was frustrated that there wasn't a response when he called. So at that point, people might get to the mindset of, well, what's the point? Why bother calling? So why bother calling if they're seeing something like this, but they're like, oh, well, the officers might be on something else and they might not be able to respond?
Yeah, absolutely. That attitude is flawed. We respond to calls for service when we can. Mm-hmm. You hit it right on the head. Depending on how the communications center prioritizes the call, mm-hmm. Whether it's in progress, a crime against person versus a property crime versus a suspicious, is where that gets stacked on the dispatch list. And again, we have a finite number of officers mm-hmm. that are running from call to call to call. So just because you call and somebody doesn't show up immediately mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we're not going to show up and check on that. And it's essential for us because we need to know, what's going on in respective neighborhoods. Right. When our crime analyst starts pulling those numbers on suspicious calls in a particular area, we can start developing a pattern, and that's part of our strategy is directed patrol, hotspot policing on where things are at, where things are taking place, and we can direct our resources there. But if people don't let us know, mm-hmm. yeah. then we have no idea unless an officer happens to be in the area at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a interesting concept. People think that because we're the city government that we're all knowing, but we really are, we're not on every street corner and we really don't know what's going. So we do need the community to be the eyes and the ears for us and report what they're seeing out there. So we talked a lot about crime prevention, and I next want to talk about the Crime Prevention Center. So Lieutenant Linick, can you tell us what is the role of the Crime Prevention Center in Billings, and what resources? I know we hit on some of them already, but what resources does the center offer?
Right. So we do have a Crime Prevention Center down here on 3rd, just a couple blocks from the police department. Staffed out of this building is our public relations sergeant, our crime prevention officer, and then our CSOs, along with a handful of our volunteers. They work on a multitude of different things. Obviously, our public relations sergeant works on some of our public events. You know, you have the softball and the fire softball game that we've had the last couple years. I know this year he's working on the Beat the Heat run again. Mm-hmm. So he works on those type of things. But then they also are working on some public outreach stuff where they can just go out and assist the community. So they spend a lot of time doing things like property assessments, like we already talked about with the SEPTED stuff. They also do a lot of active shooter presentations and evaluations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll go to a business or something like that, and they'll give a presentation to a group of people, or they'll help go through the property and help them put emergency plans in place. So they spend a lot of time doing that. Our crime prevention officer works on some of those things just that are crime prevention related. The SEPTED form again. They also go do some of the neighborhood watch program things. So if you and your residents have a existing neighborhood watch program, or you want to get something going, I know a lot of times now with social media, we're seeing that neighborhood watch program shift from being the individuals kind of patrolling a neighborhood to more along the lines of everybody being in touch on Facebook or whatever social media. But we do have resources available if you want to know how to get something up and going in your neighborhood. This is where you would come and talk to them. Or if you wanted a presentation where we would come out and talk to your neighbors or your group of individuals and answer questions about what's going on in that mm-hmm. that area. So this is where a lot of that stuff takes place, is the community outreach and then developing programs that help us with the community and some of that crime prevention stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what about volunteers? There's volunteer opportunities also.
We do. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities, and we've got a pretty good program. We have our volunteer patrol unit that goes out, and they help us with our abandoned vehicle program, mm-hmm. along with doing some parking ticket stuff. But they're instrumental in keeping your residential and commercial streets clear of abandoned vehicles. Mm-hmm. They're complaint driven, so they get the complaints, they go check the vehicles, they tag them, then they go back and check on them later, and they let our crime prevention officer know which vehicles need to be towed and which ones are moved, and they keep us all up to date on that. And then once a week our crime prevention officer goes out and mm-hmm. removes the vehicles that are still in violation. So there's that, and then we have some report writing opportunities. We got volunteers that help us with that, mainly at this point move in some of the online reports over into our report writing system and making sure that we have all the proper information there.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I have one more question on the Crime Prevention Center. And this is a great resource because, again, it was eye-opening to me once I got on board with the city. I'm like, wow, there's so much going on at the Crime Prevention Center. For a while, the volunteer coordinator was Callie, right? But you guys actually are close to selecting a new one. So where are you at on that? And once they get on board, what's next from there? What happens from there?
Right. So I am in the final stages of a selection process for a new volunteer coordinator. And once we have that person onboarded with our department, we're going to be asking that person to kind of just revamp the whole program. Go through the department and see what volunteer opportunities are there, or where the need is, anything that we can help. I know the chief likes to refer to our volunteers as a force multiplier. Mm-hmm. And so for our department, so that's what we're going to be asking our new volunteer coordinator to do, is go through our department and see where we can better our service to the community by the use of volunteers, and then go out and recruit as many volunteers as we need to get that job done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Our conversation's moving along quite quite fast. We have about 5 minutes left. Chief, I wanted to ask if there's anything, you know, you've been sitting here listening to the conversation, anything you want to add or chime in on at all?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing that should come to the forefront here, you're talking about all the stuff that goes on at the Crime Prevention Center. Mm-hmm. I would say that all the stuff that goes on at the police department in general, the community at large doesn't know the work that's taking place. Right now, we're operating out of 11 different facilities, multiple local, federal, state task forces covering a wide variety of disciplines. Significant work's being done. Our detective division, you know, unfortunately, we had the 17 homicides in 2022, solved all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a moral victory for me because we didn't, you know, say we can't, you know, we didn't stop any of those or prevent it. But on the other side of that, we were able to provide some closure to the victims' families. So, mm-hmm. You know, all of those things that take place. And then again, the good stuff to take that takes place that really nobody, you know, takes note of. You know, we had the Shop with a Cop program that was really huge. You know, hundreds of kids rolls into the fall because we had so much donated money that we could buy school supplies for them. You know, supporting those type of programs. Those type of good things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it needs to be noticed, the good work that takes place, aside from the good police work that's taking place day in and day out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, with the Shop with the Cop, it really does go beyond just getting presents under the tree, because these interactions that the kids had with the police officers very well could, you know, something could click, and who knows what ways that would impact them, their life, the path they take, and the decisions that they make later on in life. So it's definitely more than the gifts, more than the presents, more than the Christmas spirit, I guess you'd say. All right. Well, I have another question, and I'm just trying to be fair here because I asked the fire guys. TV shows, police, what's your favorite?
Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues. Is that before my time?
Probably.
All right, Linick, do you have a police show that you watch and really enjoy it, and that people can maybe, you know, get a true idea of what it's like?
Well, I don't know if there's any out there that give a true idea of what it's like, and I genuinely stay away from most police shows on TV.
But
I did grow up watching NYPD Blue. My parents were really into watching that. So.
All right. Yep,
which would be kind of second generation Hill Street Blues.
All right. Yeah. So no, isn't there like a Chicago PD or something like that? Mm-hmm. Is that pretty unauthentic, or what's your take on that?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge? All right.
Yeah, I think we'd be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll stop there. Well, I thank you both for taking the time to sit with us here on the podcast. And thanks again to the PD for allowing me in. And I have the camera on the chief still, so I'm sorry about that because I'm talking now. Thank you so much for allowing me to be in here, do these podcasts. If people want to ask questions, we plan on making these a more regular thing, various departments each month. So if you're curious about anything that involves the city, please ask away, let me know. I also want to give a plug for our next podcast that's coming up. It features the city administrator. So we have City Administrator Chris Kokolsky, Assistant City Administrator Kevin Ifland will be here doing a Facebook Live and podcast with us on Monday, February 27th at 10:30. So again, with that, if you have any questions for them, please comment, send a direct message on any of our social media platforms. You can email me hillv@billingsmt.gov and ask away, because we're here for you. And if you're curious about something, we want to answer that curiosity and get those questions answered. So thanks again for watching. If you're listening on the podcast, thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you.